That's good. Good morning. So I'm Jumlip Su, Bang Bon. That was pretty weak. So I'm Jumlip Su, Bang Bon. Hey, some of you learned that too, huh? Good for you. I am honored to be here. I've been here back home in Chicago, by the way, for the last 9 days. Last Sunday, I was privileged to return to Uptown Baptist Church. Some of you will be familiar with that church and its ministry. I was honored to serve there and to be part of God planting a Cambodian church there over 30 years ago, and honored to serve there for about 12 years before going to where we are now in St. Petersburg, Florida. But this has been a great week. I feel like a double homecoming week here, or a family reunion. I was able to go there last Sunday and see some old friends, some new ones as well, and then to come here this following Sunday and to be with you. I feel like I'm home here as well, and this is family. You know, I always, when I come here, I remember the scene when Jesus going into the temple and clearing out the temple, and then his words were what? My Father's house, and we're talking about our Father today, right? My Father's house should be a house of worship or prayer, all right? But when we often quote that, we stop right there, and we leave out the next three words. He said what? My Father's house should be a house of prayer for all nations, for all nations. We leave that out and forget that that's what Jesus was trying to tell the people. This is for everybody, because that temple was a place for only one nation, one people. Place where he was standing there, he said, no, 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 this is my Father's house, and this is for all of my Father's children, for all nations, all peoples. And I stand here and look out at you today, and what do I see? All nations, all God's children, amen? You can tell them Baptist, right? All right, we're going to talk today about the Father, and I want to say that it's a great thing that you've been doing this study, I understand, for quite a while now, talking about the names of God. They're so important. I'm sure at some point you've already talked about how important names are in that culture, in the Hebrew culture, how name is not just a name. You know, Shakespeare said what? A rose by any other name would smell sweet. That may be true, and I'm not going to argue with Shakespeare. He knew what he was talking about, but still there's value in a name, and especially in that culture, in the Hebrew culture, your name was really essentially your identity. It's who you were. And so it's so important for us to understand and to look at all throughout Scripture the names of God. Now, there's other cultures and other languages where that's not so much the case. So I can tell our Cambodian brothers and sisters about their names. They have beautiful names, wonderful names, names that are identifiers of flowers and things like fortune and peace. You know, we shared the peace a while ago in Cambodian. They have wonderful names. Unfortunately, in their culture, it's not very common to use those names. Instead, I would call most of our friends here, our brothers and sisters, I'd call them brother or sister or aunt or uncle or nephew or niece, which is kind of neat, too, that family sense that they have. But they don't use those beautiful names. But yet our names are something beautiful and something important, something even, in this case, in Hebrew culture, essential about us. So I praise you for taking the time, as you've done in recent weeks, and I assume it's going to go on from here as well, okay, that you're looking at the names of God. Today we're going to look at one of the names of God that is the most special of all the names of God to me. We're going to be talking about Abba. Abba. And speaking of the Hebrew language and Hebrew culture, that of course is coming from that culture, but it's actually the name for Father, or we can translate it otherwise, but the name for Father in Aramaic. Aramaic. Do you know that that was the language that Jesus spoke? I was reminded of that constantly by a coworker of mine right here in Chicago who worked in refugee social services with me. He was a man from Iraq, and he constantly reminded me that his people were the only ones left on earth who speak the language of Jesus. The language Jesus spoke. I imagine some of you don't even know what that language is. Aramaic. Aramaic was the common language of the people in Jesus' time there in the first century. So in the Aramaic language, the word Abba that we're talking about today, it can be translated Father, but most experts, most scholars know that that's really not accurate. It's not Father because there's another name for Father in that language. It would be more the name that you and I might call our Father in the sense. Daddy. Daddy. Or Papa. Or as my niece says to her father, my brother-in-law every day, Papi. 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 That's what Abba means. And that's what we're going to talk about today. The name of God that means Papi. Papa. Daddy. นี่ชื่อเรื่องอาจารย์บ้องๆมีปณีของบ้องๆឲ្យយើងហៅព្រះអង្គមិនមែនត្រឹមជាព្រះវរបិតាទេប៉ុណ្ណោះយើងហៅព្រះអង្គបាអើយបាអើយបាពីយើងមានសិទ្ធហៅព្រះអង្គជាបាពីជាប៉ារបស់យើងជាពុករបស់យើងជាកោចារបងប្អូន So name is not just a name. This name, the name of God, Abba. Say it with me, Abba.
Abba.
Abba. Abba. Do you realize what we're doing? When we're calling out that name, we're saying, Daddy, Papi, Papa, Abba. To the creator of the universe. Okay, does that just blow you away or what? That's what it does to me. That we can refer to the creator of all things, the Lord of the universe, and call him Papi, Papa, Daddy, Barai, Bukai, Pa, and Lao, right? Let's look at what the scripture says. We're going to go through some verses very quickly. If you want to follow along in your Bible, you can. Or you want to write these down, look at them later, you can. Let's look what the Bible says about this. All throughout the Old Testament, it talks about God. And in many places, of course, then it refers to him as Father. The very first place is in Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 6. There it says, the Lord, and it asks us this question, the Lord, isn't he your Father? That, in fact, is the first place that God is referred to as a Father to us. The Lord, isn't he your Father? In Deuteronomy 32, verse 6. In the Psalms, in several places, one of them that I like is in Psalm 89, verse 26, where it says, my Father, my God, the rock, my Savior. But it refers to God in that psalm of praise as my Father. In Isaiah 9, 6, a very familiar verse that we talk about a lot in the Lenten season, we talk about Jesus coming to this world, that baby Christ being born. And there it talks about, of course, in Isaiah 9, 6, the child that is given, the child that is born. But in the very same verse, notice the contrast. It says that child that is born is going to be here living among you. One of his names, speaking of the names of God, one of his names is what? This child, his name is going to be Everlasting Father. Everlasting Father. Imagine that. This child is going to be and is indeed our everlasting Father. God is referred to over and over again. Also in the book of Isaiah in chapter 63, verse 16, he's mentioned twice there, where he's giving praise to God and saying, you are our Father. You, O God, are our Father. There's another place later in the Old Testament in Malachi chapter 2, verse 10, but we're going to come back to that a little bit later on. But I want to point this out to you, that all through the Old Testament, as you read about God and all the names of God, all the other various names of God, you'll see that there are references to God as our Father many times. But not once, not one single time is God ever addressed as Father. He's referred to as our Father, or this question here about your Father, or Everlasting Father is his name. But never once in all the prayers of the Old Testament is he were addressed, not referred to, but addressed as Father. Now think about that. And that all changes, doesn't it? When we come to the New Testament, and we come to the New Testament, and we come to this scene in the Gospels that tells us about something that we're going to witness in a little while down at Lake Michigan. Last time I baptized somebody in Lake Michigan, it was my father-in-law. What an honor that was. But I'll never forget. He was a skinny man and just didn't have a lot of, and he skinned to cover him, and he was just like this the whole time. So I'm anticipating that these three boys are young and strong, and that they should do better today. When we're there, we can remind ourselves of what it says in the scripture. And Matthew tells us that at that scene when Jesus came into this world, when Jesus was baptized, remember the voice from heaven that was heard? And what did it say? Hey, y'all, that's my boy. That's my boy. Well, okay, that's my version of it. But it said what? This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. That establishes Jesus as God's son. And from then on, then you have Jesus talking about his father. And you have Jesus teaching about addressing him as our father. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 45, he talks about praying to your father in heaven, telling us that we can do that, telling the people there with him, you can do this. You can pray to God as your father. I'm not talking just about my father, your father in heaven. He's your father in heaven. 12 times in Matthew chapter 6, in the section where Jesus is teaching us and sharing with us and giving us the Lord's Prayer that we just did a little while ago. 12 times there, it's mentioned, repeated over and over again. So look at it, and it'll jump off the pages at you. Your Father in heaven, your Father, when you're praying to your Father, when you pray to your Father, pray like this. And then when he teaches us to pray to our Father, he teaches us to start by saying, our Father. He doesn't say, pray to my Father this way, pray to your Father this way. Say, our Father, our Father. Is that amazing or what? Jesus is beginning to establish that this is our relationship, not just his with his father, but our relationship with God is as children in a father. He's our father. Our Father. Jesus modeled that for us, that prayer to the Father in Gethsemane in Matthew chapter 26, verses 39 and 42, twice while Jesus is there pouring out his heart before the Father and begging the Father, begging his Father to remove this cup from him. As you're well familiar with that scene, there's Jesus praying out, my Father, my Father. But I'd like to go over to the Gospel of Mark and look what it says there. If you want to turn to that, you can turn to Mark chapter 14, verse 36. For this is the first time in all of Scripture that we're introduced to the name that we're talking about today. And that name is Abba, Abba, Papa, Papi. And that scene in Mark's Gospel, verse 36 of chapter 14, Jesus is praying, pouring out his heart to his Father, and he actually uses that word. Mark includes that word in the account because he wants us to understand this wasn't just Jesus going formally before his Father and making a request, saying, oh, Father. No, this was Jesus crying out, Daddy! Abba! 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 It's the name that you and I are privileged to call out as well. How do we know that? Where do we get that from? It's also in the scripture. There are two other places in scripture that talks about the name Abba. I want to look at both of them with you today. If you want to turn to Galatians chapter 4 and verse 6. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 6. There you'll see it talking about, and Paul's writing about how we are children of God and we're no longer slaves and we are his children. Because you are sons, he says, because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son, and now we get all three of this Trinity included. It's not just God sending his Son, but his Spirit is here with us. God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts. Into our hearts. And the Spirit that God sent into our hearts, which is the Spirit of the Son, Jesus, Paul says, that Spirit that is in your heart and mine cries out, what? Abba! Abba! Daddy, Daddy. I'm going to read something for you from a book you may be familiar with, Eugene Peterson. I bet some of you are. Translator of the Message Bible, which you may be familiar with. Just an amazing writer. gifted at putting things together, and I decided I just couldn't put it any better than he did. So I'll let him say it for us from a book that's a study on the book of Galatians called Traveling Light, Modern Meditations on St. Paul's Letter of Freedom. He talks there about this passage in Galatians chapter 4, verse 6, where Paul talks about calling him daddy, calling God daddy or papa. This is what he says. We can address God as freely as we address our own parents. It is this kind of freedom that combines intimacy with reverence. We are still aware of the majesty and the awesome glory of God. We don't forget about that as we approach him. But we do not try to reduce God to a level of coziness where we can manipulate him either. The intimacy is a freedom to share ourselves, to express ourselves fearlessly in God's presence. We are free to be spontaneous, personal, and uninhibited. Faith is not a formal relationship hedged in with elaborate courtesies. It is a family relationship, intimate and free. That's what Paul's trying to tell us in this passage in Galatians. That's the kind of relationship that you and I can have with the God of the universe, the Lord of all. An intimate, passionate, personal relationship where we can pour out our hearts fearlessly, it says, and come before him and call him Abba, Abba, Abba. An unprecedented intimacy with God, Peterson says. It's never been that way before, but it is that way now because of Jesus Christ, his son coming into this world, and the spirit of that son coming into our hearts and enabling us to cry out, Abba. God also gives us another passage in his word, which we'll look at today. It was read earlier. Romans chapter 8, verses 14 to 16. I won't read it for you now. We had the reading earlier, but it's the second passage, or actually the third, counting the one with Jesus praying in Gethsemane, the third passage then that identifies this word, this name, Abba, as one that we can cry out to God. There in Romans 8, I'll give you part of the Message translation, going again back to Eugene Peterson, his translation. It's like he says, greeting God with a childlike, what's next, Papa? That we can approach the God of the universe in that way. Say, hey, what's up? What's next, Papa? What's up? What's next, Daddy? Again, if that doesn't just blow you away, I don't know what will. If we can come to the God of all things, the created all things, God of the universe, and say, hey, Papa, Daddy, Daddy. We've received that right. So the spirit of sonship it talks about in Romans chapter 8. We've received the spirit of sonship. We are sons and daughters of the King of the universe, princes and princesses. And we can call our Father, Daddy, Daddy, Papa, Abba, Abba. Those are the three places in Scripture that mention the name Abba, that Aramaic name for Daddy. We are privileged and honored to be able to call him Daddy, to call him Papa. That name then, Abba, identifies something very important for all of us to understand. That is that's our relationship with God. That's our relationship with God. That we can call him. It's that intimate, that personal, that close, that we can approach him and call him Daddy, Papa, Bye. What an amazing thing. That's one thing that we need to understand about the name Abba, what it says about our relationship with him. But it also says something very important as well. The second thing, we won't have much time to talk about this, and I'm thinking that you all don't need to hear very much about this, because I look out and I see you guys get this. I go into a lot of other churches and go into a lot of other places where there are gatherings of my fellow believers, my brothers and sisters in Christ, and they don't get this. And so I talk about it more. That is that name Abba says something else to all of us as well, not just about our relationship to him that is so intimate and personal and close and real, but that name Abba also identifies something else about us, that we're all brothers and sisters. We're all brothers and sisters. That every one of you, that as I look out on you today, you're a child of God. You're a daughter of God. You're a son of God. It doesn't matter what difference there are, the color of our skin, our appearance, our culture, our language differences. We're all brothers and sisters by virtue of having one and the same Father, who we can call Abba. Dr. Martin Luther King spoke about this in a message way back in the 60s, and the world was a place that was changing then. It's changed so much more since then, as we all know. But he talked about something that disturbed him. He talked about how the world, as he looked out and he traveled around, and he realized, he talked about how that you could have breakfast in Paris and dinner in New York. And how the world had become, as he described it, just like a neighborhood, the entire world. And imagine, that's what he's saying back in the 60s. And now today we talk about the global village that we live in. But he said something very important, that something that disturbed him, is he looked out of the world and he said, wow, look at this. We're like all neighbors, you know, whether we're in Asia, whether we're in Africa, wherever we're in the world, we can be neighbors of each other. This is, the whole world's like one big neighborhood. But the thing that disturbed him most about it was what? That the world looked like a great big neighborhood, but it wasn't a brotherhood or sisterhood. And that, of course, was a big part of his message to us as a nation at that time and to the whole world. That we needed to understand that this isn't just a neighborhood we all live in and we share together as neighbors, but that we are all, under God, our Father, under Abba, we are all what? Brothers and sisters as well. Like I said, you guys get this. There are many that don't. And so that's a message that we need to carry out there to the world, to those around us. I'll let them know, you are our brothers and sisters. We are all under one Father, whom we can call Abba, Daddy. What an amazing privilege that is to carry that message out into the world. That's the message that we have to share. Both those things. First of all, that we can talk to people about the God of the universe who's created all things as being our Father and your Father too, we can tell people. And then we can reach out to them and say, and not only that, that means you're my brother, you're my sister. We're a brotherhood, a sisterhood, not just a neighborhood. There's a passage, the last passage, where God is mentioned as Father and referred to as Father in the Old Testament that I talked about a little earlier. It's in Malachi chapter 2. Verse 10. Malachi 2, verse 10 has become for me a word from the Lord that has meant so much to me. Wow, good. We've got it up there on the screen. You know, when God asks questions, I don't know about you, but that kind of gets my attention. Because God doesn't just ask, like, for the most part, rhetorical questions. You know, he doesn't just throw something out there. When God asks a question, just like look at Jesus teaching, whenever he's teaching, he's always teaching with questions and asking people to think about and respond to what he's saying. When God asks a question, or here in this case, a couple of questions, one after another, I like to stop and pay attention. And here's the questions that God asked in a series of questions, actually, in the book of Malachi. And I recommend reading that book, because it's a great series of questions that God is asking his people to stop and think about and to ponder. But here's God saying this, asking these two questions. Have we not all one Father? Did not one God create us? Did not one God create us? And what's our response? Knowing everything we know, everything we've looked at, everything we've read in Scripture, everything that he's revealed to us, our response can only be yes, yes. We have one Father, one creator of all things. Again, I'll go to the Message translation of Malachi 2:10. Here's how he puts it. Don't we all come from one Father? Aren't we all created by the same God? But then he adds this. So why can't we all get along? That's the stinger. That's the question that's added to these two questions that really strikes at our hearts, at your heart and mine. If we have only one Father, if there is only one creator of all things, then why can't we just learn to get along? I like to think of it as the Rodney King question. Anybody remember Rodney King? The riots out in L.A. Don't even want to think about how long ago that was, but some of us remember that. And this man that was kind of innocently there and ended up being involved in the middle of everything and became kind of an icon and symbol of what was going on there at that time and made that statement, asked that question to the whole world as his audience. You know, if there had been YouTube or whatever in that day, that had probably been recorded, probably would have gone viral. But his simple question is, why can't we all just learn to get along? Why can't we all just learn to get along? I don't know where he was coming from with that question, whether he believed in God as the Father of all or not, but that's the question that God is asking us here in the book of Malachi through the prophet. Why can't we all just get along? If God is the Father of all, we all have the same Creator, no matter how differently he created us, why can't we learn to get along? We are, in fact, brothers and sisters under one Father, whom we can call Abba. Why can't we just learn to get along? I want to finish today by coming back to a story that's got to be my favorite story of all in all Scripture, a parable that Jesus told, one that's very familiar to probably most of you here today. Find it in Luke chapter 15. The parable of the prodigal son. It's been put into music, an art form. Rembrandt has a very famous painting of it, and many musical renditions of that story, that parable, have been created. The one I like the best is one. It's called "When God Ran." Anybody ever heard that song? "When God Ran." And it just tells this story over again about the son who went away. You know the story. You know, we don't have to go over it. But then it tells about when that son returned back. And you remember the son had this plan. He's got his speech prepared. He might have even written it down on index cards or something. And he was all prepared. He was going to go back and he was going to say, what? Father? He was going to use that very formal word. Father, I do not deserve to be considered your son anymore. Let me live as your servant, and that will suffice. For I have sinned against you, Father. You remember that son had that speech prepared, and he was making his way back. And in the song, it tells about that, how he's making his way down the road. And then, one of the most amazing scenes that we find in all of Scripture, in my opinion, is when God ran. Never anywhere else in Scripture does it talk about God being in a hurry and God rushing or God running. But in this story that Jesus tells, as that son comes back to the father, planning to go and say, Father, Father, I've sinned against you. Father, let me just be your servant. And the father sees him in a distance. And I don't know about you, if you're a dad or your parent, and this had happened, you would probably be standing there and looking in the distance and saying, who's that coming? And you may just stand there and wait. I think that's what I would do. But the father in this story does what? It says in the Scripture that he ran. He ran out to meet his son. And then the words, the lyrics of that song describe it in this way, that he came and he took me. It says, it's speaking as the son. Now it says, he took me in his arms. He took me in his arms. He held my head to his chest. And with forgiveness in his eyes, he looked in my face and he said, what? Son, son. Don't you know I still love you? Don't you know I still love you? And as it's described in Scripture, it was at that moment that the son whips out his card and goes over his planned speech and begins and says, "Father, I'd like to use my imagination. I like to do this. I don't know if you do that when you read stories in Scripture, but I like to use a little imagination, be a little creative with the story and think that there might be some things that aren't included in here, but as we add them on or gloss it over a little bit, I think God permits us to do that in this way, as being creative, using our creative minds and hearts. I would like to think that at that moment, as he pulls out that card and he begins that speech and says, Father, I would like to think that he got no farther than that. And that at that moment, his father said, no. No, it's not Father. Call me Abba. 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 And now we're going to throw a party for him. Abba. God says to you and me, it's here in his word. Take him at his word. He says to you and me, as that father, I believe, have said to his son, call me Abba. Call me Daddy. Who's your daddy? I love that expression. Every time I hear it, this is immediately what I think about. Who's your daddy? And my response is, the God of the universe, the Lord of all. He's my daddy. He's my Abba. He says to me, call me Abba. Call me Abba. Who's your daddy? Abba, our Father. Amen. I have a gift for you. If I can share that now. I was going to do that earlier, but I forgot. I come with a gift. Last time I was here, it was like, what, 40 hours before I was getting on a plane and head over to Southeast Asia. And by the way, I told you I'd be seeing Tim and Kathy Amsutz, many of you know, and that didn't work out. We intended to meet each other, actually, on their anniversary, 30th anniversary. And they thought it was a really neat thing that I'd been there and brought a vanload of Cambodians, in fact, to their wedding that day out in Rockford 30 years ago, and that 30 years later that we were going to be able to meet and have lunch together in Phnom Penh, Cambodia, of all places, in this neighborhood that we now live in. It didn't work out, so I didn't get to see them, but I understand, I think Tim's been back, and Kathy too, right? They've probably been back and visited you since then anyway. But I come to you with a gift, and I want to just share this with you. You can make this next week, and you have a coffee pot here, I'm assuming, all right. Three Corner Coffee, and I want to just tell you quickly the story behind this, because it's an amazing story. There's a man out of Texas that went to Cambodia with his wife. His job was to work for the State Department, our State Department, to build. He's in construction business. His job was to oversee the construction of the brand new U.S. embassy in Cambodia many years ago. He'd done this in many other countries as well, been doing this, traveling all around the world, building embassies and buildings around the world for the State Department. And he went to Cambodia to oversee the construction of the new U.S. embassy. Some of you have been there, right? Yeah. He went there to build the embassy. He and his wife, like so many other people I know, including Tim and Kathy and others that you know as well, fell in love with the people there, fell in love with that country. And after the completion of the construction of that embassy, they said, you know what? We're not going anywhere else. We're staying right here. And they felt God had called them to be there. And they were out drinking coffee one day in a restaurant and had the idea of, I wonder if there's any coffee grown anywhere, maybe up in the mountains in the Northeast, or somewhere in part of this country where there's coffee grown. And so they asked, and people didn't know. And so they kept asking and researching, and they found out that indeed coffee is grown up in Ratanakiri and Mandokiri, up in the mountains. Dange, ta kidam cafe, kidam cafe no no lupanam no Mandokiri hai Ratanakiri. Kat gumandang da, kat suge, ki prapata mian mian kalan ki dam cafe. So he asked about that, and he found out indeed there was coffee grown there, and he came up with this plan, this idea, this vision from God to create a company that would take those beans, pay the people there who were growing these coffee beans, bring in a grinder. He moved a grinder over from San Francisco, planted it there in the middle of Phnom Penh, and began grinding those beans and producing them as what they called three-corner coffee. Because actually there's a triangle where it's part in Laos, part in Vietnam, and part in Cambodia, and it was kind of the three-corner concept. So that's what they did. That's what they're producing. You can get it online. You can purchase it all over Cambodia now. They've only been in business for a little over a year. But the really neat thing is he and his wife are now retired there. They're in good shape. You know, our State Department took care of them for many years. They don't get a penny out of this. Every penny that goes into this coffee when you purchase it goes towards ministry there. And some really, really good, effective ministries that I'm a part of and some that I support, but many others as well. And so I just wanted to bring that as a gift for you. When you roast your coffee here, when you cook your coffee, you put it through the grinder and you share it and you drink that instead of Starbucks or whatever else you might choose, know that your money is going to something really worthwhile over there in Cambodia, in the fatherland. And so I just want to bring that to you as a gift and remind you that we are all God's children. This is the fatherland. Everywhere is the fatherland. This world is the fatherland. And we worship a God who says, call me daddy. Call me Abba. Amen. Thank you. Should I give that to you?
Let's spend a moment or two in quiet reflection, and then I think we have just a few minutes. If people have a testimony of being